So over the last couple of weeks, I've been spending some time thinking about where we might go next in terms of our sermon series. Since Pentecost, back in June, we explored what it meant to be followers of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, following in the freedom we've been given, committed to the ways of the reign of God, and drawing others into that movement. Then we spent some time reflecting on priorities, what it meant to be sharing life in God's kingdom, what that ought to put at the top of our agendas. And then we had the season of creation, which was a sort of parenthesis, stepping out of our local space and into the global, indeed, into the cosmic, joining with our sisters and brothers around the world, listening for the voice of creation, hearing the pain of creation, but ultimately also hearing hope. Hope based on that same reign of God we'd reflected on, the promise that the work that God has begun in us, in Jesus, will come to fruition. But you might have noticed from the fact that there hasn't been a slide announcing what this next series was going to be about, that I didn't really have a clear idea. To be honest, I didn't really have any idea at all what this next series, probably taking us all the way up to Advent, we are at that place in the year already, was going to be about. And I think what's been nagging at me as I've been trying to think about that is that the three series we've just had could have been preached pretty much anywhere, anytime. Following Jesus, prioritizing the things of the reign of God, listening to God's creation, these are all constants in our faith. And that's good. Constants in our faith are good. But they are worthless if they don't find a fresh expression when things change. And one thing you might have noticed about the last couple of years is that a lot of things seem to have changed. This morning, in fact, even as I speak, at St. Ives Baptist Church, the social researcher Mark McCrindle is speaking on the subject of church life after COVID, drawing on the census and on the National Church Life Survey. I'm going to go back and watch his sermon on YouTube sometime during the week, so you'll probably hear more about it in future weeks. But that's the big question. That's the elephant in the room. If the church is where the unchanging truth of God finds expression in the ever-changing life of humanity, then how do we, as the church, the people called by God in this place, how do we respond when everything changes? How do we change? And how do we not? And that brings us, strangely enough, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the message of God to people of God in a time of change that makes COVID shrink into insignificance. The exile to Babylon, the downfall of the nation. A few weeks ago, Stuart told us the story of Jeremiah's purchase of the field. I really love that story, that declaration of faith, that whatever it looked like, this exile was not the end. The land that was going to be taken from them would be restored. One day, the ordinary things of life, the buying and selling, the planting and reaping, all of that would return. Hold on to that, Jeremiah insisted, God has not abandoned you. But today we have a different part of Jeremiah's message, a different side to what he had to say. Words that he wrote to the people who had been taken into exile, torn from their land, their people, their temple, hanging their harps on the trees, wondering how they would sing God's song in a foreign land. For God's promise was one of restoration, but not yet. For now, for them, everything had changed. Indeed, many of them would never see the restoration, which was still 70 years in their future. So how were they to live in their new normal? And Jeremiah's answer was, for the context and people of his day, incredibly radical. For the nature of Jewish-Gentile relationships in the law was mostly pretty simple. Don't. Have nothing to do with them. Do not allow yourself to be defiled by mixing with those who don't share your faith, don't share your culture, don't share the Torah. And from a prophet like Jeremiah, who had railed against the way that the people had abandoned the Torah, that's pretty much what they would have been expecting to hear from him. Circle the wagons. Keep everything you can the same. Double down on the law and wait for God to restore what you had before. Jeremiah's message was almost the opposite. Yes, God is going to redeem you, but in the meantime, live where you are. There's three parts to the message that Jeremiah gave to the exiles, at least there have to be, don't there? Because there's always three parts. And I do believe that there are ways that we can apply each of those three messages to our life as a church in a post-COVID world. Build houses, live fruitfully, seek the welfare of the city. So first, he tells them to build houses. In the memory of the people of Israel, part of the definition of who they were was this time that they had spent before the promised land, time when they had been in the wilderness, in which they never built a house. They traveled. They built temporary structures, tents, as a way of declaring that this was not their home. This was just temporary. That would have been the obvious symbolism for people who were trusting in God's promise to restore them to the land. Don't build houses. Make temporary shelters. Declare your faith that you are just here in Babylon for a while. But Jeremiah says, no, don't live as if you are passing through. Don't live as if you are waiting to return. Build houses. Live as if this was your land. Throughout the years of COVID, we've heard people talking about getting back to normal and waiting to get back to normal. We've heard it. We've said it in the church. treating the pandemic as an interruption to normal life, as if we ought to soon hear over the loudspeakers, normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. 3 years on, I think it's increasingly clear the situation is more like that described by Trillian in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Normal service will be resumed as soon as we know what normal is anyway. We don't know how long it will be until we return to normality, whether it's an old normal or a new. It keeps on seeming as if it might be about to happen and then not. I believe Jeremiah's words challenge us in that place. Live where you are. Not where you were, not where you will be, or hope that you will be. Live where you are. The third of Jeremiah's messages, I'll come back to the second, was perhaps the most unexpected. Seek the welfare of the city I have sent you to. That city, in case you've missed the point, was Babylon, the capital of the empire that had destroyed their nation. The city which was responsible for the destruction of the temple, the byword of pagan power, the antithesis of the Jewish faith. So much the byword of that antithesis that even hundreds of years later, in the writing of the book of Revelation, Babylon would be the imagery used for the central force destroying the people. Babylon was the enemy. But even there, even in Babylon, the word of the prophet was not keep yourself apart, stay safe amongst your own people. Even in Babylon, the word of the prophet was, be a blessing to the city. Long before Jesus said, love your enemy, do good to those who curse you, Jeremiah had effectively said the same. And that's a message for us, less about the change brought by COVID as it is about the long, slow change we see as the Western world becomes less inclined to identify with religion. Although, as I'm sure Mark McCrindle is saying at St. Ives right now, no less inclined to spirituality, but less likely to take any faith perspective seriously. Even when people have no interest in your faith, work out how you can be a blessing to the place you find yourself. Actually, among other things, it's probably also the most effective way of getting them to pay attention to what you have to say about faith. But that's maybe not even the point. Seek the welfare of the city where God has placed you. But I want to finish by coming back, as I said I would, to the second of Jeremiah's messages, because I suspect it might be the most timely for many of us today. Live fruitfully. Don't just live where you are, flourish where you are. For the exiles, this was expressed as get married, have children, have grandchildren, plant crops, eat what they produce. Don't just exist in Babylon, flourish there. And I say that this might be the timeliest, certainly, as I say, I feel it's the timeliest message for me. Because at the moment, it often seems as if flourishing is more than we can ask for. Everyone seems to just be so tired. Physically tired, but more emotionally tired. Everything is harder than it used to be. We've lost those habits that made life flow. We often feel as if we don't have the energy to do anything new, perhaps in part because we've been burned by the cancellation of those new things we've tried to do over the last few years. And I say this is timely for me. I don't know a single person in ministry who wouldn't say that that describes them. And I know that that's not unique to my job. But what I see in Jeremiah's words, in his call to flourish, is a call to flourish not by making great efforts or dramatic gestures. The flourishing that Jeremiah describes is in the ordinary things: building houses, raising children, growing crops, caring for grandchildren. Perhaps in Jeremiah's words, we might hear this call to flourish not by extraordinary effort, but by putting what effort we can muster into the ordinary. Now, you will very rarely hear me quoting wisdom from TV sport interviews. I'm not sure there's that much to quote. But I have definitely heard coaches talking about how the team needs to do the basics well. Putting what effort we can into the ordinary. And what is that for us, for the church? What are the basics? What is the ordinary? Well, perhaps it would include what we're doing now. Gathering for worship, here or through technology. Not to be entertained, but as an act of faithful reorientation of our lives towards God, an act of reminding ourselves of why we come, what it is that we love about this community, this place, this act of worship. And then, speaking of community, perhaps it also means connecting with one another at morning tea or at supper, in those calls or coffees or emails or WhatsApp chats during the week, in those small groups that gather in different homes or here in the church, week by week, month by month. And that in turn is one part of another of those basics, those ordinary things of being church. Caring for one another. Calling that sister or brother who can't make it to be with us here in person on Sundays. Asking how someone's getting on and actually taking the time to listen to the answer. And, as Jeremiah said, blessing the time and the place that we find ourselves in. That's a basic of being church. Doing those acts of outreach and mission and service, those youth groups, ESOC, kids' playtime, those things we do to bless our community outside our walls. In a time of extraordinary change, Jeremiah called the people of God to flourish in the ordinary things of their lives. He called them to live where they found themselves, not focused on the past or living in an expected future. And by so living, to bless the city in which they were found. May we live likewise. Amen.